And I want to thank the previous speaker because it's a really great introduction to what I'm going to talk about. And actually, you guys are a little further than we are with this particular resistant strain of pink bollworm. But yes, before I divulge into the data for my talk today, I want to tribute this talk to Jackie Blackmer, who was not only a tremendous entomologist, a great friend and colleague, and she'll be sadly missed. So, agriculture only in Arizona. Obviously, we're faced with a number of unique challenges, one being it's an extremely water-restricted environment. And secondly, if you've ever been to Phoenix area in the summer, you know that we're also faced with unique thermal challenges. But in fact, I do want to reiterate that agriculture does play an important role in Arizona. Cotton has been traditionally the key crop, and it still remains a critical component to our state's economy, although I will say that vegetables are gaining some ground, and we're getting some more diverse in agricultural environments, particularly in these heavily irrigated desert valleys. So I don't have to say too much about what BT cotton is, as we all know that BT stands for Bacillus thuringiensis, and BT crops have become a really important part of many different agricultural landscapes. So these plants have a sort of inherent way of controlling specific insects, and that involves expression of these cry or site proteins that are specifically toxic to specific insects. So in Arizona, we have sort of two generations of BT crops that are now being used, the first being a Cry1AC single toxin BT cotton, the second involving stacked or pyramided BT toxins. And these are all being grown to target a specific pest in Arizona, primarily a specific pest in Arizona, that being the pink bollworm. This is a major lepidopteran pest in Arizona and much of the southwest United States, as well as other parts of the world. And this insect has long been considered a highly resistant risk that would evolve resistance very quickly in the field. So just to define resistance, as we've seen in a number of talks in this meeting, is that it's a genetically based decrease in susceptibility of an insect population following exposure, in this case, to a BT toxin. And we know of a number of strains that have actually been developed in Arizona that are resistant to BT and resistant to BT cotton. These have been developed in the pink bollworm group at the University of Arizona, which I have close ties with. And from these strains, as well as other insects that are resistant to BT, they've sort of defined what mode 1 resistance is. And it consists of a number of characteristics that we've talked about. So what about pink bollworm resistant strains that we know about? They all have really high levels of resistance to Cry1AC. They are the resistance is inherited in a recessive fashion. They have reduced toxin binding. They are also not cross-resistant to Cry1AC. And what we know about these resistant strains is that they all have genetic linkage to cadherin. So these cadherin resistance alleles have changes or mutations, alterations in the genes, which results in changes in the cadherin receptor. So we have R1, R2, and R3, and all of them result in subtle changes, or in the case of R2, we think is a pretty significant change in the protein. But what's interesting is that although we have these strains in the have been generated essentially by selecting on Cry1AC in the lab, that field-evolved resistance has not yet been observed. So we have a pretty extensive PCR-based screening method in which we look for these known resistance alleles, R1, R2, and R3. And to date, we have not been able to detect these alleles in the field. We also are running bioassays to also coincide with the PCR-based data. And so far, we have not seen a significant increase in the mean frequency of resistance from insects coming in from the field, which is good news for our growers. So a few years ago, Tom Hinneberry had an idea that, well, rather than selecting these insects on Krywin AC in diet, why not, let's try to select these on cotton bowls. And so what we did is we took a susceptible lab strain, the WCRL strain, which is highly susceptible to BT and Cry1 AC. And we took this strain and we placed it on cotton bowls, but for only 4 days, since pink bollworm is highly sensitive to BT toxins. We decided that we needed to do this as sort of a sublethal exposure. So these insects were reared on bowls for 4 days, taken off and placed on artificial diet without Cry1AC to allow for complete development. This was repeated for over 42 generations, and this is our sublethal selection. At that point, we then decided to select for higher resistance, and we took these insects and then reared them on MVP2 or Cry1AC for another 11 generations in the lab. And so after all of this selection, we thought, well, we should have a highly selected, highly resistant strain. It's surviving on 10 micrograms of Cry1AC in artificial diet. But interestingly, this insect still does not survive on the BT cotton. So we did show that this insect is actually resistant. You can see a shift in the dose response curve, which results in actually a resistance ratio of over 240-fold. So fairly high resistance. This indicates that it probably is a genetic inherited resistance strain. If you compare that with our selected strains that are resistant, you can see that the level of resistance has not yet reached that point. So we have resistance ratios of significantly less. We were interested in looking at whether or not this newly resistant, this new strain that could survive on Cry1AC, on a diagnostic level of Cry1AC, whether or not they actually contained the cadherin mutations that we knew about. And so, as I mentioned before, we have three known resistance alleles that are very common in our resistant strains that we have already selected. So we can use this type of technique in which we have PCR primers that simply span or are found within these changes in the genes of these cadherins and look for known resistance alleles in our newly established strain. And so this just shows simply how we do it, extract DNA and run PCR. And our results show that we have not been able to detect R1, R2, or R3 in over 68 individuals from over three generations of these new BT4 strain. We know that the PCR is working because we have internal PCR controls that are found in different regions of the intron of the pink bollworm cadherin loci. So it indicates that our PCR is working, but these individuals do not possess the known resistance alleles. It's important to note that this does not exclude other mutations that may exist, R4, R5, etc. But we have not, we do not know any, there's no evidence of these other cadherin mutations existing. So we also looked at some of the biological data concerning the strain, see whether we can see some differences in biology with this particular strain compared to when we cross it with a susceptible strain. And what we find is it's quite interesting is that it's kind of a busy table, but basically what we looked at is we looked at differences in mating or spermatophore accumulation in mated females, and also whether or not eggs, there was a reduction in the total number of eggs that were produced and whether these eggs were viable or not. And what we show is that all crosses involving this new BT4 resistant strain have reduced number of oviposition and or reduced numbers of viable eggs, indicating that there may be some fitness cost involved with this resistance. We also looked at the ability of this strain to survive on either control diet or diet containing this diagnostic or high level of concentration of Cry1AC. And what we see is that there was no significant difference in survivability on untreated diet, but that all the strains that had been crossed, all the reciprocal crosses with the susceptible strain had reduced survivability on the Cry1AC. Whereas our BT4, our strain crossed with itself, had no significant difference in what we would see with a control diet. But what we think is quite interesting with this particular study is that in all cases before, any of the resistant strains that have been performed with reciprocal crosses with a susceptible strain are incompletely recessive. So we see absolutely zero survivors of these crosses with the other resistant strain. So this indicates that we have some survivors at this of this reciprocal cross, and it's really unique to this strain. And this indicates that there may be some level of dominance with this resistance, and that's really something we have never seen with pink bollworm before, is that it's always been incompletely recessive. So in summary, what we know is that pink bollworm have yet not yet evolved resistance in the field in the southwest United States. We do know that this particular new strain that we have is resistant to high levels of Cry1AC but does not survive on BT cotton. We're continuing to select this strain to see if we can push the resistance higher and see if we can make it survive on BT cotton. We know that this strain BT4R does not contain the known mutations in cadherin, and we know that this strain appears to have some level of dominance in its initial reciprocal crosses. We're starting to do some of the F2 screens that my previous presenter demonstrated to show that that this in fact is inherited in a dominant fashion. And finally, our combined results suggest that this BT4R strain is probably not cadherin, and it's probably multigenic and does not involve mutations in cadherin. And so with that, I will say thank you. I'd like to acknowledge my collaborators on this project, Lynn Yeck and Tom Henneberry, and thank Bruce Tabashnik for helpful suggestion and also work with the other resistant strains. And if anybody has any questions, I'll be happy to take them now. Yeah, Brenda. Exactly, yeah. The question was, does this look like protease-mediated resistance? And that's one of the prime suspects, as well as alkaline phosphatase. We have plans to hopefully assay for both of those modes of action and show that pink bollworm can also have these other, what have been traditionally called, you know, minor genes or other resistance mechanisms. Yep, go on. Yeah, we know that they do mate at the same frequency, so it could be something else, though. We don't know if it is, in fact, a fitness cost, or is it just that there are other factors involved, other, you know, physiological factors. But it definitely appears that there's some sort of difference in these BT4 strains compared to the wild-type strain.
Any other questions? Well, thank you for sticking it out all the way to the end, and that concludes this session.